We're going to be talking as we've come out of these fall holidays, these big fall holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, seems like a distant memory, and yet it seems like just yesterday because it was just like last week or the week before. And of course, Sukkot. We are coming out of Sukkot. Tonight, we have another holiday, Simchat Torah, but today, as we've been mentioning, is even yet one more holiday, Shemini Atzeret, and it's a much lesser known holiday, but it's a holiday in its own right. And I want to spend a few minutes speaking and talking about Shemini Atzeret today. So if you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, we're going to start in verse 36. What is Shemini Atzeret? What can we learn from it? You know, if you've seen things online and you've read things, people are kind of stumped about this holiday in some ways. There's questions, the origins of the holiday, what's it about? But I want to give a couple of reflections here. And the first thing is going to Scripture and seeing that there are some instances in the Bible where it talks about this holiday. I'm not going to be turning, but there's an instance in 2 Chronicles when King Solomon is dedicating the first temple. They celebrate Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day. There's a place in Nehemiah chapter 8, it talks about it. But we find here in Leviticus 23, verse 36, talking about the holiday Sukkot. This is all about the Sukkot section of Leviticus 23. But then it says, "For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day," which is where we are today, "you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no ordinary work." Sukkot is a seven-day holiday, but the last and greatest day of Sukkot is called Hoshana Rabbah. Now, I spoke about Hoshana Rabbah in my message last week. It's, you know, you have the water and you have all of these wonderful story of bringing the water to the temple, pouring it on the altar. That's during Hoshana Rabbah. You have what Yeshua says in John chapter 7, as Bob mentioned in his drash. But then we come to the eighth day. And the word Shemini actually means eighth. So if you're wondering what this holiday means, if you translate it, Shemini means eighth, and Atzeret comes from the word Atzar, which means to hold back or to keep in, to stop or to tarry. So this holiday is attached to Sukkot, but it's also a separate holiday, and really what it is one more day to spend time with the Lord, which is what we're doing today, celebrating it. Now, I want to give you one interesting point as I was going through this. There is mention of all of this in one of the books of the Apocrypha. If you've ever heard of the Apocrypha, if you've ever seen, you know, those Catholic Bibles, they contain these other books besides the canonized books, which we consider Scripture, the canonized Tanakh and Brit Hadashah. There's additional books that didn't quite make the cut into the canon of Scripture. And one of them is 2 Maccabees. There's two books of the Maccabees. Of course, we know the Maccabees were the freedom fighters in Israel during the time of Hanukkah, or they basically ushered in this holiday of Hanukkah by cleansing the temple. And in their freedom fighting, there's an account in the book of 2 Maccabees that they were unable to celebrate the holiday of Sukkot because they were in the midst of fighting. Kind of sounds like what's going on in Israel today, right? They had to come out of the holiday, call up the troops, and they had to defend their country, which is exactly what's going on right now. But the Maccabees were unable to celebrate Sukkot because of this freedom fighting, because they were at war. So it said the first celebration of Hanukkah, which is 8 days, was modeled after Sukkot plus Shemini Atzeret, the eighth day, which is a combination of total of 8 days. Now, a lot of times we like to think about Hanukkah. We get to that. We talk about, you know, the children's story about how the oil lasted 8 days and all that. There's some misnomers in that. And most likely this could be the reason why Hanukkah became an eight-day holiday, because they wanted to celebrate Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret, and they couldn't that year. So that's where Hanukkah comes into play, they say. But it is a unique holiday, Shemini Atzeret. And there are some important things that we can talk about this holiday. Like I said, it's an extra day that we get. It's an extra holiday. It's attached to the end of Sukkot. And as I mentioned, it means the eighth day and to hold back or tarry. The holiday is characterized as a day when the Jewish people tarry, traditionally, historically, tarry and spend a little bit more time with God at the tail end of the holidays, at the end of Sukkot. So Shmini Atzeret allows us, reminds us, shows us to linger a little bit more with God. Turn to Psalm 27, verse 4. We don't want to yet go back to our normal lives. We want to hang on a little bit more with God and spend one more day with Him. This is historically how it's been, and this is what we say today. Because we want to be in the presence of God more. Turn with me to, like I said, Psalm 27. We're going to turn to verse 4. And it says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now, it would be wonderful if we were all independently wealthy and we could hang out here all the time and we could party all the time here and rejoice. We're going to rejoice tonight in the Torah. We could linger with the Lord every single day. That awaits us in heaven, I believe, but not for today. We still have to work, unfortunately. But we want to remember God. We want to linger a little bit more. But the thing is, even if we wanted to, we lead such busy lives today. There's things that are vying for our attention other than lingering and spending time with the Lord. We're always going and going. It seems like time kind of just speeds up, right? It never stops. And I thought I was busy 20 years ago, and now I just feel like I'm on the hamster wheel. I don't know if you do as well. But we need time periodically to linger with God. We need to rest. We need to recharge. We need to get plugged into the Lord, or we face and risk burnout. Psalm 46, verse 10. I love this psalm. We sing a lot about it, about the God of Jacob. But listen to this. Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The hard part there is the be still. You know, when you just stop and you try to be still, it's like, oh, got to get my phone, or I got to get something to do. Or we need to just learn to be still in the Lord sometimes. But it's hard in today's fast-paced world that keeps just spinning faster and faster. That's a big reason why we have Shabbat. It's not just a day to worship God. It's a day to rest in God. It's a day to stop, to rest. Shabbat has been characterized by very famous Jewish philosopher Heschel as an island in time. What that means is time is supposed to stop when it's Shabbat, right? Even though the phone doesn't stop going off and the responsibilities continue to happen, we have to carve out a time. We try to carve out a time where we just stop and where there is no time and there's just the space of God, spending time with God, but drawing near to Him. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 8. We went through the book of Yaakov, James, before Hebrews. Listen to what he says, just the first part of the verse. "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." But you know what? If we're not drawing near to God, what's going to happen? He's not going to draw near to us. And we complain and we say, "God, why aren't you near to us? Why aren't you with us?" Have we stopped and acknowledged Him? Have we gone into His presence? Have we drawn near to Him? He will then draw near to us. That's what Scripture says. Now, these holidays that we've gone through, all of the fall holidays have been a time for us to draw near to God. And on this holiday, let's linger a little longer with Him in His presence. So today's message is a series of questions to you and I. Question one is, are you reluctant to leave God's presence? Or are you like, let me get my bagel and I'm out the door. I got things to do, God. Are you reluctant to leave God's presence? I hope you are. Let's be lingering a little bit longer with God today. Now, if we look historically at Shemini Atzeret, and we read there's a lot of ancient things about it. Even 2,000 years ago, as the Talmud was getting written down, Book of Jewish Writings of Rabbis, it describes Shemini Atzeret, and of course it describes it because, remember, it's attached to Sukkot. There's a whole tractate, a whole book of the Talmud called Sukkah, which is all about Sukkot. But guess what? It's also about Shemini Atzeret a little bit too. And we talked about it and we did it earlier today in the service, but one of the big practices that we're supposed to do at this holiday and at other times that is described in these writings is to recite the Hallel. And we talked about what the Hallel is. It's a special set of psalms of praise to God. Hallel means praise. That's the word if you translate it from the Hebrew. Psalms 113 to 118. We see it in the Bible specifically mentioned during Passover. We mentioned Matthew 26, 30. It's also in Mark 14, 26. You wouldn't recognize it because in my translation of my Bible, it says after they were done having the Last Supper, which was the Passover Seder, they went out after they had sung a hymn. Now, in my mind, that means, you know, you get the old hymn out and you sing the hymn. But in context of the Bible, in context of what was going on, they recited and sang Hallel before they went out. So we see this practice. If we look at one of those Hallel Psalms, we read it earlier, but I want to go to it really quickly. Right at the beginning of Hallel, Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise the Lord, Hallel. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We are to praise him in good and bad. We are to praise him in times of peace and in times of war. That's why it's seemingly so incongruent to praise him. I've been reading a lot about how throughout our history as a Jewish people, there's been a lot of sadness, of course, and a lot of darkness. Yet we're commanded to praise the Lord. Even tonight, we're commanded to rejoice. We were commanded to be joyful during Sukkot. Sometimes it doesn't feel good to do that. Sometimes we don't want to do that because there's things going on in our lives that are not so fun or joyful, but we still need to praise the Lord in all seasons. Shemini Atzeret reminds us to linger a little bit, to stay in the presence of the Lord, and to continue the theme of Sukkot, which is what? A time of joy, a time of praising the Lord, thanking God for the harvest, thanking God that he dwells with us. Remember what we talked about with Sukkot? And he dwells in us. Are we thankful for that? We should be thankful that God is with us. We should rejoice in that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rav Shaul in his letter to the Philippian congregation in the Philippians reminds the believers to have joy and to rejoice. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. If we stop and think, even though we look around and we see all the bad, and we complain and we dwell on all the bad in our lives, whether it be sickness or job situation or problems or whatever, family issues, whatever, we have much to be joyful about if we just reframe it in our mind. We have a relationship with the God of all creation. Can you imagine? We have a relationship with the one who created us and the one who is in charge of all. Psalm 16, 11, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amazing. He's made known to us the path of life, and that is joy, fullness of joy in him. There are many things that can bring you and I joy in our lives. If we think about all the ways that we can be joyful, right, that we can thank God for. I could thank God for, you could thank God for family, for a spouse, if you have a spouse, for children, for parents, for friends. You can thank God for a good book that you read, right? You could thank God for his book, the Bible. You could thank God for a great movie or our synagogue life. There's so many things that we can say. What is the source of our joy? I remember there was a book that was written years ago by a very famous Christian author, and it was like 1,000 ways to give thanks. What is the source of our joy? All of these things can bring us joy, but what's the source? What's the inside source to where all other things are colored and it's breathed into all other things? Where does that source come from? Well, it should be the Lord for us. Every part of our joy should be flowing out of that source of joy, which is God. Is God, question number 2, the source of your joy? You know, if you and I have the source of our joy in things or other people, those things will let us down. Those things will break. Those things will fall apart. Those things could be taken from us. But the source of our joy, if it's God, can never be stripped from us, can never be taken from us, God will never leave us or forsake us or let us down. Is God the source of your joy? He should be. Now, there's one more thing I want to talk about, point out on this special day, Shemini Atzeret. We talked about how in many ways it's an extension of Sukkot, the eighth day, called the eighth day because there's the 7 days that come before it of Sukkot. But it's also tied to the one coming up tonight, Simchat Torah. Simchat Torah means rejoicing in the Word of God, the Torah. And Simchat Torah is when we roll the Torah scroll back to Genesis and we go back to the beginning. The holidays close with tonight, what begins tonight, which is Simchat Torah, really. All those fall holidays that we've had. They close with Simchat Torah, and then guess what happens? The year, the cycle begins anew. Simchat Torah is regarded as the second day of Shemini Atzeret. So it's all linked, you see? Shemini Atzeret is the eighth day of Sukkot, and Simchat Torah is also linked and is also considered the second day of Shemini Atzeret. So these holidays are all linked. These holidays also allow us to focus on the Lord right before we begin again our normal lives with Him, which happens, I guess it would be Sunday night, right? After the end of Simchat Torah. Right before we begin again, there's a renewal. There's a going back to the beginning. It's like our weekly Shabbat that we talked about earlier. The Shabbat is actually the first holiday that is listed in Leviticus 23, which is where we started at the beginning of this message. Before all the other holidays, Shabbat comes as the first holiday, and it reminds us on a weekly basis, not even a yearly basis, on a weekly basis to linger, to rest with the Lord before we begin a new week. So before we begin again, we linger a little bit before the Lord. So we have this theme coming up of new beginnings in a way. It's that way with the Lord and our lives. May we begin again as we finish this holiday cycle, all of the meaning that's been attached to these holidays, and we start fresh again with God. I want you to turn with me to probably a very unlikely place to turn when we're talking about joy, and it's in the book of Lamentations. Not exactly a barrel of laughs and a source of joy for us, but I want to go there for a specific reason. Chapter 3, verse 22. Now, Lamentations is a solemn, sad book of the Bible. Why would I even think about mentioning this on such a joyous time? Well, there's a point here. Lamentations was written as the Jewish people were in heavy sin and they were sent into exile. They were sent into exile because of idolatry. They were basically, as it says, vomited out of the land because the land is a land of promise. The land is a symbol of being with God. And our people have had exile over the course of our history and they were lamenting about it. Hence the name of the book, Lamentations. But even in the midst of that heavy darkness, sadness, sin, problems, where we are far from God, God speaks about new beginnings. Now listen to this, Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love, chesed, of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In one of the most worst, baddest, however you want to call it, darkest times because of sin of Israel, God says these words of mercy, these words that He is with them. And we know it's said that God went with Israel in the exile. God is with us in our deepest, darkest valleys. And as I like to say, in our lion's dens, in our flaming, fiery furnaces, God is still with us. And as this talks about, His mercies are new. They can become new every morning. Question 3, our last question today, are you ready to begin anew with God? Doesn't matter what's gone on. Doesn't matter all the darkness that's around us. Doesn't matter all the problems around us. Are we ready to begin anew with God? Let's turn to our last scripture of the day here, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What a powerful and an uplifting and an encouraging bit of scripture for us. This is God speaking to Israel historically here, telling them he's going to do a new thing. This psalm is very hopeful and it's very messianic. Later on in the psalm, if you were to read the rest of Psalm 43, and I encourage you to do so, there's a lot of verses there. At the very end, God says later that he's going to blot out Israel's transgressions. That means their sins. He will not remember their sins. How wonderful is that? We know we have sins. We know we live with amongst darkness. But we know that there is newness with God. We can begin again with new. And God even says he is doing a new thing. So you and I can have confidence and know as these holidays close, we can begin anew with God. We have newness of life in Messiah Yeshua. We can begin again this year. We can make it and purpose to make it a year with God, even lingering still with him in joy. So these holidays have been very, very special. They've been very meaningful. I can speak for myself, right? As just a congregant, myself, as a follower of the Lord, of Yeshua, myself, that when I think about these holidays that we've gone through, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret, even coming up to Simchat Torah, they've been very special for me personally. And I have heard from many of you watching on the live stream, many of you here, that they've been especially meaningful to you as well this year. That could be for various reasons, things going on in your own individual lives. It could be because we're in a new facility. We're in a new synagogue this year, which is an amazing thing. And as we start and roll this Torah tonight, I encourage you all to come to rejoice with us tonight. As we start a new Torah cycle, tonight with Simchat Torah, closing out the holidays, but beginning, finishing up the end of Deuteronomy, beginning in the beginning of Genesis, this can be a day where we can be renewed with God. Allow yourself to be renewed again because he wants to do a new thing, not only in our congregation, not only in our community, but inside of each and every one of us. Let's pray to him. Lord, we thank you because you are doing a new thing. Can we see it? Can we perceive it, Lord? May we look around. May we see all the ways that you are renewing us. I pray, Lord God, for our community, even in the midst of a lot of sickness going on with people, a lot of sorrow because of loss. May you begin again. May you renew us as a community, as a congregation, as individuals and as families. Lord, we do pray this coming year. We pray for miracles. We pray for opportunities to share about you. We pray for ways that we can linger with you, draw close to you. And Lord, we know you say in your word, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Lord, we're coming to you, Lord. We're drawing near to you. May this be a year of renewal, of breakthrough, of new things in you, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. We give it all up to you. We want to give you all the glory, praise, and honor. It's in Yeshua's name that we pray all these things. Amen.